Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Detroit Kool-Aid, what is going on, everybody? We are back, and it is Friday, and I'm here with Grifka, and we're here to talk Dolphins, Lions. Grifka, what up?
Man, just excited football's back. Happy to watch the Lions again on Sunday.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a huge game. Lots to talk about, so let's get right into it. What are you thinking this week? Tell me what's on the mind of Grifka.
Just a couple things to start with. I know last podcast we talked about Agnew being hurt, and they're looking to do some stuff in-house, but they did sign that Lindsey Pimpkins is his name. I know he played with the Colts in Green Bay. What do you think about that? What's your take on that?
I didn't read a ton up on this guy, but I did hear that he had started a game for the Colts, which I don't know if that's just because the Colts are all beat up or if he's got some game, but anytime you can start in the NFL, it's a good thing. So he had started for them, and then the day after he started, they basically got rid of him. So I don't know if they got some guys back. Maybe he played that terrible. But like I say, if you have starting ability, I thought it was an okay ad, especially, you can never have enough DBs. We always say that. And like I say, with the Agnew injury. So I'm fine with it. I mean, I don't know much about this guy, but I hope he can come in and contribute in some way.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. And I know you don't like it when I agree with you, but I don't.
What do you
see
mean? It's a staple of the show, yeah. And I love it.
I don't see him starting on the team, but you're right. It's you can never have too many healthy defensive backs right now in the season, especially with the way it's been going in the Lions' defensive backfield. So obviously, they, like I said, brought back Shedd, and either he's I don't see him playing a lot. Agnew was playing a lot more, so once again, it's just another body to have in case something happens and somebody goes down. Speaking of that, I know a couple weeks ago they had released Akeem Velez, but now they have brought him back to the practice squad. You have any thoughts on that?
I have lots of thoughts on this, Grifka, and this has nothing to do with the player, but I want to say this. You and the Big Hughes were in love with this guy. I mean, you saw him in the preseason. You thought, this is our new starting tight end. Look at what a great pass catcher he is. Look at all these plays he can make. He got booted. He didn't make it anywhere else. He came back here. I mean, I'm not excited at all about the guy. I mean, I feel that, again, he's a tight end. He's not like a receiver or running back that might be able to find some traction. I just feel like he's another player. If he can find his way or make a few plays here or there, great. But I have no expectations except for the fact that you and Hughes had him in the Hall of Fame, and I think it's just hilarious. His name is Akeem Velez. You forgot that, I guess.
Yeah, Hall of Fame. I wouldn't go that far. Maybe like 3-time Pro Bowler making the Hall of Fame, with the Veterans Committee 30 years down line. But I want to be putting him into the Hall of Fame, after a couple of good preseason games and a catch or two that he had in the regular season. But once again,
you guys loved him. All the people, go back in the archives and listen to the preseason shows and listen to Grifka and Hughes talk about Akeem Velez and how he's our guy at tight end now. I loved it.
Yeah, well, okay, but just back to another camp body, and it kind of goes with your you were talking about a few weeks ago, how it always seems like the practice squad, we always just bring in defensive backs and tight ends, and they never make any contributions at all. So maybe that's what this is, just another one of those tight ends that we bring in who's going to be, gone next year.
Here's the thing. Our tight ends have been so terrible that he probably could start next week for us. They've made no impact except in blocking. So I'm sure he could probably come on the team in the next few weeks and make a few plays, and everybody would be all excited about him again. But, yeah. The tight end position is no longer a pass catching position for this team. Akeem Velez is nothing more than just a random lower tier roster bubble guy. And like you say, not a big issue. So nothing big going on there.
Okay. I just got one more thing I want to touch base with you on. And once again, the NFL trade deadline, it comes up here in a couple of weeks. And once again, it seems like every trade I ever see is like somebody going to Philadelphia, because I guess I didn't realize Philly was so crappy. But once again, somebody put this possible trade out there that would be good for Philly, and it happened to be, was it trading Amir and Golden Tate to Philly. Once again, I read this and I'm just like, well, this has got to be the stupidest trade in the world, considering exactly where the Lions are at. I guess everybody thinks that, you know, the Lions trading, you know, Golden Tate away, they must think, you know, well, they're just mailing in this season, or they're just sold that, you know, Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones will be fine. But I read that and I thought it was like, gosh, it's the stupidest thing in the world. What do you think about that?
Are these the Grifka sources again that are reporting these types of trades, or where did this come from, Grifka? Do you remember?
I got a call roughly at 3:15 in the morning, and they were telling me how Ziggy wasn't going to play, so he couldn't get big numbers. And then they said, hey, there's this hot topic that Philadelphia may be interested in Amir Abdullah and Golden Tate. So I'm just okay.
Did you say you meet your source at 3:15 in the morning at Hot Topic? Is that what you said?
No, he called me and said, hey, I have this hot topic. I was getting off my shift at Hot Topic, and I was getting my Red Hot Chili Peppers t-shirt with my New Religion jeans, wearing my Chuck Taylors. So
your source has got more issues than I thought if they're at Hot Topic. But like I said, I don't know where you heard this. To me, there's so much junk that goes around the NFL about trades. They barely ever happen. When they do, they're surprising, but they never, like, there's never these two for ones or these two players that are either not doing anything or have expiring deals. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, part of me wants to say I'd love it if they could make a big splash and like give Golden Tate away to somebody here in the back part of the year and get a really nice pick or a nice defensive player, but I don't see it happening. Amir Abdullah hasn't done anything to make people enticed by him like I hoped he would. So, I mean, if they, as you would say, if they trade him, they're getting a bag of balls and a bag of Cheetos. I mean, I don't see anything for him either. So I think all these trade, you know, I don't see it happening, but I would love to get some valuable pieces. So don't hold your breath. Double check your sources, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. There's just a couple things I want to talk about before we get into this reason why we're doing this, and that is the big game down on South Beach this week. Hopefully the Lions don't get caught up there on the beach and get sunburned all over the place and unable to play. But big game this week in Miami. We saw Miami come back with a thrilling victory over the Bears. I think the Bears kind of choked that one off more than Miami going there and winning it, considering it was that Miami's running back fumbled at the half foot line, and Miami was lucky enough to escape with a W there. But let's start with this. Miami is – I know when we were going through early in the season, the preseason, we kind of predicted Miami to kind of be a little bit of a dog team. But they're actually not so bad this year. They're tied with New England for the division right now in the AFC North. Right now, this team's better than what we thought. So what do you think the Lions need to do to go down there and come away with a road victory, considering the Lions haven't won on the road yet this year and Miami hasn't lost at home yet this year?
Grifka, this is another occurrence where you're falling into the what everybody else is saying, what the numbers are telling you, what it looks like on paper. I'm here to tell you right now, the Miami Dolphins are terrible. Their record, their home record means nothing to me. You know, their quarterbacks gambles. The Miami Dolphins playing in Miami doesn't worry me one bit. They don't care about sports. They don't have a raucous home crowd. I'm not too worried about the weather. None of this stuff matters. So you may give me all these stats about us not winning on the road, them being undefeated. That means nothing. Like, they don't have any impact players on offense or defense that I'm too worried about. Like I say, their quarterback's terrible. I think this is a game we go down. It's not only a must win, but I think you got to show some dominance over a team like this, because they have a paper record that means nothing. And I just say we go down and punch them in the face. So, you know, take all your numbers, your stats, your this, your that, and tell me why the Dolphins are good at any position, Grifka. I'd love to hear it.
Well, I wouldn't say they're good, but I guess the biggest things right now that what I can say is that obviously after last week that Miami has some confidence, to be honest with you. I mean, coming out in victory that way, like I said, I thought Chicago choked that game off more than Miami, you know, going out and winning it. But the biggest thing I got to kind of worry about, you know, right now, it's kind of the same thing. I know you said you didn't worry about the weather, but I mean, right now, I mean, we're in Michigan and we know what it is up here. And, you know, Miami's going to be, you know, mid 80s and humid, you know, on Sunday. I mean, we've seen in the past where, you know, at this time of year, teams from chillier weather stadiums go down south or go out west in the heat, and they tend to, you know, kind of wilt in the second half when the weather's starting to get to them. But, you know, 3-2, like I said, Miami hasn't lost at home. I mean, but I just, like I said, I agree with you. Get out your buzzer, but I agree with you. I think it's kind of more of a ping ping, you know, they beat the Jets, you know, and even though the Jets beat the Lions, I mean, I still think the Jets aren't that good. And, you know, they beat the Bears at home, and I can't remember who their last victory was against, who their other game was at home, who they beat. But I would have to agree with you there. I don't think who they've played and who they've beat means a whole lot to me. So the Lions can go down there and they can win this game. I mean, but once again, falling into the trap of hanging out on South Beach and, you know, the weather, you know, that could be something right there.
Grifka, you know what I have to say about your take on weather, humidity, and, like, will they be able to deal with that? You know what I want to say to that?
Go ahead.
Grifka, take a lap. You take a lap for that, Grifka, just like MatPat would say. Go take a lap, maybe two laps for that garbage. The Detroit Lions, Grifka, are fine. They're professional athletes. I'm not worried about that. I thought when you said weather, you were going to – like, I heard that there may be thunderstorms or there may be, you know, slippery weather. I don't like that because I always still view the Lions, until they prove me otherwise, as more of a finesse team. So, like, if the weather's not perfect for throwing the football or for doing what they need to do, I always feel like that – favors these other teams that are more grinders or more, you know, have more just gritty football players. But maybe that's changing with MatPat under his regime. But so I'm more worried about, like, if it's pouring rain, if we're gonna be able to toss it around the yard. But the heat means nothing to me. Like, you know, just go down and take care of business. I mean, this, like you said, it's all about who they beat at home. I mean, I think the Bears showed their half fraud by going down there and not being able to deal with that team or being able to deal with Brock Osweiler at quarterback. So that was good to see them struggle, because that gave me more sense that Khalil Mack isn't going to dominate every play of every game, and that we might be able to deal with them. And that, you know, even though they have some players on offense, they won't be good. So again, back to Miami. I just think that go take care of business, go down there. Don't worry about all these peripheral things, and just, are we better than their football team? Let's go prove it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah, you know, as we all have heard, you know, Brock Osweiler is going to be making the start. But even if it was Tannehill, I mean, would you fear this team anymore? Or I know it sounds like you're taking Miami pretty lightly with Brock at the quarterback, but would you feel any different if Tannehill was starting this game?
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, Brock Osweiler is absolute hot garbage. I mean, he's had some of the worst stat lines of all time when he was playing in both Houston, and then he got shipped around to all these places. I mean, everybody's talking, oh, look at what he did last week. Like, when you're talking about numbers and stuff, I go back and look at, like, a bigger sample size and say, man, this guy had, like, a little bit of a run in Denver, and then he's been terrible ever since. I mean, I take nothing away from last game, really. I don't see him reproducing that. I see lots of turnovers from him in this game. I see lots of quarterback pressure getting on him. Tannehill, I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but I remember in the preseason, I thought between him and I thought Devontae Parker was finally going to get it all together and be kind of he's a slick athlete. When you see him in his jersey, he just is never healthy and never makes plays on Sundays. So, you know, he's turning out to be a big old bust. But so, like I said, when I just going down their roster from the quarterback down, I mean, the only player I like is, I have a little bit of love for Kenyon Drake. I think he can catch and he can run. if he's given the opportunity. But he's fallen out of favor too, yeah, because of his fumbles and because of they're giving the ball to old man Frank Gore all the time. Like, I don't know. I mean, I still am waiting for you to give me one guy that really is a difference maker for the Miami Dolphins, because I don't see it anywhere. And then their defense is just a bunch of, you know, old defensive ends, you know, linebackers that can't really play. I mean, I'm really ragging on, but this is really what I think. Like, their record is so fake to me. I feel like this is a game, even though it's a road game, and road games are tough in the NFL. I mean, Lions are pretty healthy, coming off a bye, have a time for this team. I don't see why we don't go down and show some dominance against a bad football team on both sides of the ball. Maybe one playmaker on defense, Fitzpatrick, and then a couple linebackers that are mid-level at best, you know. Who's going to rush the quarterback for them? Who's going to catch passes for them? Oh, what's his name? Wilson, who had two big catch and runs. Like, come on. I never heard of this guy till this year. He's a mid to low tier receiver at best. And then, like I say, some of the other bigger guys are hurt, or as long as Kenny Still doesn't go over the top of us, we're good.
Yeah, sounds like you're taking this team pretty lightly right now. I mean,
this is how you preview a game, Grifka. You don't hem and haw. You don't go on and on about, oh, I hope that we'll win. Maybe we'll win. Oh, you know, the Dolphins are pretty good. You call it like you see it. The Dolphins suck. The Lions don't suck. We win.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think Tannehill would make that much of a difference over Brock Osweiler. Just that he's been there longer, and he's been in the Miami Dolphin uniform longer, so he's that turquoise blue or green, whatever color it is, he might look a little better in. But I don't see too much of a difference between Tannehill and Osweiler right there. As for saying that the running game's not that good, I mean, I would have to disagree with you on that. Frank Gore, he can still produce. Like you said, even though he's old man River, he can still pound it out. And I know Drake, I mean, that guy, he's not a terrible running back either. So, yeah, he had that fumble, but, last week against the Bears, but to say that the running game's terrible, I wouldn't agree with that. And, we've seen the Lions defense struggle with, running games this year so far. So, I wouldn't completely write off, that offense yet. Their wide receivers, once again, I know, like you said, I don't think, there's like any dynamic playmakers, and Devontae Parker is never, he obviously looks good in his uniform. So, but he can't, he's not that great of offensive player though, but, the running game, can be kind of dangerous. It kind of mimics I think that team mimics the Bears, like how we'll have to play them. And, with it being in Miami, once again, I know you don't like to hear about the heat, but, something that can make a team, kind of wilt in the second half. So if they're really pounding the ball, that might be something that would be tough for the Lions to stop. And I don't think Miami's defense is, I don't think it's a paper mache, but it's not the steel curtain either. But I mean, they do have a pretty decent defense. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of sacks, but they got some quarterback pressures, which is almost as impactful on a game as sacks is. But and, getting home right now, that's one thing that Miami's defense is struggling on, getting back to the quarterback. But I want to completely write this team off. I agree with you thinking that their wins are against, teams that aren't as good and, not as impressive as we may think. But, they do have a couple dangerous spots on this team that the Detroit Lions are going to have to worry about, that they just can't, go strap their helmets on and go down to Miami and win this game.
Grifka, you would love Frank Gore. Frank Gore has had great production. He's been a great football player. He's 35 years old at the running back position. Like, you cannot go into an NFL game saying, oh, this guy scares me, I'm worried about this guy. He'll be lucky to get like 40, 50 yards and fall in the end. Be a good game for Frank Gore. Like, that's not a guy I go in and worry about too much. Like, to me, that's why I like Drake a little better. He's a more dynamic back that can catch and run. And Kenny Stills always seems to catch those 80-yard touchdowns every fifth week of the year. Their week absolutely terrible, doesn't even show up. So, I mean, you would like Frank Gore. I mean, I liked him too, like 8 years ago.
I'm just saying they have a better running game than what you're giving them credit for. So that's something that the Lions have struggled against earlier this year. And if they haven't made the corrections over the bye week, they could struggle with it again on Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
Because this is the Detroit Kool-Aid cast, Grifka, and the people don't want to hear me give the Dolphins credit. They want me to tell it like I see it, which is the Lions are better than this team. We have more skilled players, and we even have a better defense, in my opinion. So just go out and win the dang game, and don't waste everybody's time saying how good the Dolphins are. Drink it in.
Okay, so that pretty much takes up our take on Miami then. Just kidding. Well,
I'm willing to rag on them for quite a bit longer, so send some more questions my way.
Let's put it this way. Since you've called it like you see it, that's fine. You're pretty much dismissing their running game. You're dismissing how the weather can affect the game, especially just heat and humidity. I know when you're on the basketball court in the middle of the summer and you've been out there for like 2.5 hours playing, basketball, I'm sure you're just as fresh at that point as you are, when you first walked on the court. So, I'm not a professional athlete,
Grifka. I don't do that for a living.
I don't care.
All these guys do is run and,
you're wearing,
and practice
you're wearing
and
a helmet,
lift weights all
you're
day.
Wearing, you're wearing shoulder pads that just hold heat in. I don't care, man. That gets heavy and it gets warm and it gets tiring. So,
Grifka, those are the old excuses you used to make for the Country Cup Lions. Like, these are the new Lions that have ran laps, have worked hard in training camp, not the old Jim Caldwell. Hey, let's run a few play action passes and a few dives to the right and call the practice over. No, this team's in condition. They're ready to go. Like, come on.
I think you watch Remember the Titans a little too much recently, thinking, out there practicing in the dark with the school bus lights on the field, and like all of a sudden you're just like world beaters. But, I'll let you know that playing out in the heat and humidity with all that and all those pads on, that does take a toll on you after a while. So, and if a running game is just pounding down on you, it can be tough to stop. That's all I'm saying. So, with that being said, I guess I need to know how big a blowout do you think this game's going to be?
Like you say, I want to be bold in my statements as I have been, but it's an NFL game, it's a road game, it's the team we're playing, it's not their 0-5, 0-6, whatever it may be. So, I'm going over the top with it, but I do think this is a game that not only could go in our favor, but can get ugly if we play good football. So, with all that being said, if I have to throw a score out, my brain's telling me like 28-10. Like, we put up, keep that mojo like we've had and scoring some touchdowns, either running or passing. And again, I see Brock Osweiler lucky end zone. Passing. I mean, he may get a big play either on defense or kick return and then kind of short field and get one in. So he'd be lucky to get one in and then a field goal. I mean, I don't see their offense doing anything more than that. I feel like, 10 points, maybe 14 is a total ceiling for this Miami Dolphins team right now with the way they're set up and with their players. So, give me 28-10. I'm sticking with that.
Wow, double digits in the pros, usually that does constitute a blowout. So like when you reach 10 points, it doesn't sound like a lot in high school or in college. But in the pros, that can be that's definitely considered a blowout. So 28-10, wow, that's saying
but,
something.
But Grifka, I can't come on this show every week and have every game be 3 to 7 points. I mean, when we start playing like even the Seahawks or some of these division games against the Vikings, where it's a rivalry, it's in their house. You'll hear me give some closer scores, but I mean, like I say, there's really nothing that worries me about this game other than are we going to come off the bye hot or not? If we come off hot, I see this as a great game, a great perfectly set up for the Lions. And yeah, you say that every week. Oh, 10 points, that's a lot. 8 points, 14 points, that's a lot. Like, if you watch other NFL games, a lot of them are close, and there's always a few blowouts every week. I see this as a blowout.
Okay. I can respect that. I respect your take. I'm going to take the weather a little more into account and say the Heat, but I believe that the Lions will be able to jump out early enough where then they can hold on to something. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, a 2-3 point game. Myself, I believe that, with, like you said, coming off the bye week, Patricia will have these guys prepared. I have a defense schemed up to be able to stop the run, you know, an offense to be able to at least go over the top on this defense. And the offensive line will hold up long enough that the quarterback pressures won't get to Matt Stafford and he'll stay upright. With all that being said, I'm going to go with a score of Detroit 24, Miami 16. That's how I see this game happening. So I know when we picked the preseason, we both picked this game as a W, so it looks like we're sticking with that again. That will get the Lions back to 500, much needed victory to keep them in the race with the other teams in this division. I still believe that a tie game is benefiting Minnesota and Green Bay right now, but that'll have to be something that works out in the end. So that being said, we both got W's on this, and sounds like you're taking Miami really lightly, and I'm giving them a little more respect, but we both got them coming out with a W.
Yeah, man. Like you say, just to give the people a little bit more, I mean, to me, you know, depending on the showers, like, again, I don't see why we can't throw the football. I don't know if it's going to happen this game, but we've been talking about it for weeks. Like, I think in the next handful of weeks, you're either going to see Kerryon's workload slowly increase, or like one of these weeks, you'll just wake up and this guy's getting 15 to 25 touches in the run in the pass game, and our whole offense is going to look way different when that happens. So I'm just expecting one of those two things to happen this week is either another stout run game like we had. And remember how our team looked totally different against the Pats when we could run the football?
Yeah.
Like, I'm expecting, like, this is a game that you could possibly do that. And again, I like Baker. I think Alonzo is kind of a wild card at linebacker. He's always been kind of hit or miss, but when he's good, he's pretty good. You know, I don't know many of the people on their back end, but I don't think that they have ever been known for having a great secondary. I know that I like Minkah Fitzpatrick coming out of the draft. I mean, he's just a beast at all positions. So that's like my short take on the some of the defensive guys to watch out. And like I said, the only guys for me to watch out for in Miami is will Kenyon Drake have a good game, because we've been tough in the, you know, been still having struggles in the run game. So everyone's written him off, but I could see him having a better game than average if we're not sound. And then to me, Kenny Stills is a guy we have to stop. I'm like, even a little run after catch by Albert Wilson or whatever doesn't scare me, but a big bomb over the top of one of our corners other than Slay scares me a little bit. But like I say, I made it known. I mean, if I have to pick some primetime players for the Lions in this game, it's going to be Marvin Jones. I think this could be a game where he catches a deep ball or he gets a nice, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown type of game. And then defensively, I want to see Aquara and our linebackers have another good game. I feel like Kennard's been solid all year. I'd love to see Aquara keep pushing the pocket. And maybe GQ gets a pick or a big time play in this game. He's kind of been hit or miss as well. So those are a few names to watch out for. And I can't say Kerryon Johnson enough. I think that, yeah, I'm just waiting for him to get more involved, because when he gets the ball, I still think it's pretty electric. So those are names to watch for me. And like I say, we've thrown the score out there. I've been bold and I'm looking forward to this game. I really am, even though road games I'm usually a little bit more tempered on. Not this week. And maybe it's excitement off the bye, or maybe it's just I think the Dolphins are not a good team, but I'm really excited for them to kick the ball off on Sunday.
Okay. And good takes right there. Good takes. And I guess what we'll see come Sunday afternoon by 4 o'clock, we'll know exactly if you were right or I was right. So we'll go with that. We don't have any questions today, but I know it's been a few weeks, you know, at least since week one. I was thinking about this and started to think about Lil Tim again, doing a little in his rap. You know, it's been after the bye week, where already quarter into the season, and you know it's time to get in and get out. What I was thinking was, I mean, you know, we had talked before on previous podcast and talked earlier about possible trades. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some names, and if if you think the Lions should trade these guys, I want you to get in. And if you think they should keep them, or if you think they should keep them, get out. And once again, these are all names that I've seen and read that have been like, people have either said the Lions could have this trade with this guy, or this is somebody they should trade for. And then after we get through these few Lions names, there's actually a few other names that are out there that are on the market or kind of free agents that if you think we should bring them in or trade for them, we can get in or get out if you think they should not bother touching them. So, well, let's do this. Well, we're going to start off. What you thinking about the Lions' possible trading away of Amir Abdullah?
Now, hold on, Grifka. You sold it low, the get in, get out. Now, if anybody's listened to our archives, they know the whole story about get in, get out at the tailgate, the famous rapper.
Lil Tim.
You know his name better than anybody. Give it to him, Griff.
That's Lil Tim.
Lil Tim laid it down for us, the get in, get out. So I'll do a few live ones, but if I understand you right, you want me to either or you want me to simply so we got the get in, get out. You know, we had a little fun with it before. I'll try to liven it up for the people. But so give me the rule again for get in.
Okay. For the trade, if they're on they're currently on the Lions. If you want them to trade them, get in. But if you think they should keep them, the trade offer would be get out. We don't want your trade. And then then there's a few guys out there, you know, either free agent or on the trade block. If you think the Lions should trade for them, get in. But if you don't think they should, get out. Okay?
Okay.
And once again, we talked about it before, but Amir Abdullah seems to be brought up like every 3 days as a possible trade candidate for the Lions. So what do you think about Amir Abdullah?
I want Amir Abdullah to get out! I still am not totally sure, but I think if I'm reading it right, like, I mean, I'd love them to get anything they can for Amir Abdullah, or like, I'm pretty much set on the Lions. I don't know what to do with Amir Abdullah, so he needs to get out right now.
I'm with you there also. I mean, anything the Lions could get for him, I would pack his bags for him, and I would tell him to get out as well. It's like, I don't care if they're offering a bag of air. It's like you can take Amir Abdullah off our hands, and I'd be fine with that.
Get out.
Yeah. So what about the other part of the equation I told you about earlier? Golden Tate.
Golden Tate, man. I've said it before. I said it again. The people don't like it, but he's gotta get out. like. I can keep him around if we're in the mix this season, but next year I'm not paying the guy. He's got to get out.
So really this year, if they were offered a trade, you would accept it?
I mean, it would depend what it is, but like, I hate to deal him if we're like right in the mix and he's still playing good football, but if you're offering me a really nice pick, or like I said, a guy that's younger, better contract, maybe a defender, get out.
Okay. I have to disagree with you. I'm keeping Tate here. He's got to get in. It's like he's got to stay. He's a key cog of this offense. I would even look to re-sign him next year. I mean, once again, if the price tag's way too hefty, you got to get rid of him. But that's got to be a guy I believe you got to bring back for what he does for this offense. You know, being kind of at least a safety valve for Matt Stafford. You know, being quick and shifty and being able to break tackles, get upfield. I got to keep this guy in house.
Hold on real quick. Another shout out, because I did it before, to the big Hughes who loves Golden Tate. Hey, Hughes, Golden Tate, you get out.
I'm sure he's laughing right now as he listens to this.
Because he wants him to get in. Okay. But he's got to get out because he's going to cost too much. He's too old, even though he makes plays. Okay. Sorry, GT.
Okay. I'm going to do one. I actually read this one a few weeks ago, too, a possible that the Lions, you know, Lions could do this trade, even though nobody in the right mind would do this. And what are you thinking about your boy, Ziggy Ansah?
I mean, to me, this is a two-parter again. Like, you know, somebody would have to come with a big, like, deal for me to have him get out. But this year, he's got to get in. And I mean, get in the lineup, like, this week against Miami. But, like, if you're talking about any type of trade that's worth anything, he can get out. And if you're talking 2019, he can get out.
Okay. Myself, Ziggy, if a team offered us a bag of cut grass from the football field, I would take that trade. So, Ziggy, you can get out. Because I know just as soon as you pick up your duffel bag to leave the locker room, you're going to strain your shoulder or hurt your knee or, you know, pull a groin or something like that, or your ankle's going to be hurt again. So, yeah, I would take, like I said, a bag of magic beans to get rid of Ziggy if somebody would pick him up.
But Grifka, this week against Miami, he's got to get in!
You mean flying with the team to stand on the sideline or sit up in the press box? Yeah, sure, I guess, but...
Grifka, if you keep hating on Ziggy Ansah, you're going to have to get out!
Okay.
Losing my voice. I don't know how little Tim did this for like 10 minutes when he was rapping to us, but he had it flowing.
Yeah, I believe he probably smoked enough blunts there where his voice sounded raspy already, so we'd be fine with that.
I don't know, man. He just had it. He had it going, man. Get in, get out. Look for that single on the Billboard charts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what – just like somebody wrote up on a billboard outside of Detroit maybe. Last one. What do you think if something happened, you know, if we were able to get a good offer for your boy Big Play Slay?
They can – wait for it. Wait for it. Get out! I've come your way on this, Grifka. I mean, he continues to make plays. He's fighting through injuries. He's a great guy in the locker room. Big Play Slay. He's proved himself to me. He's kind of a core piece to this defense. Having a real good corner makes a big difference in the NFL. So, keeping him. Those people can get out.
Yeah, I would. I have to agree with you on there. We have to... You know, Darius Slay always has to be in the lineup so he can get in with the rest of the team. And
in other words, you want him to stay in.
Yeah, he can go out there. He can go out there and wag his finger when he makes a play. And I have friends saying it's karma. That's why the Lions lose. I'm just like, no, Slay plays fine. It's not his fault why they lose. But yeah, they definitely. I think he's the best defender on the team. I mean, I know you like Ziggy when he's in the lineup, but I think Slay's the best defender on the team.
So you might want to tell those friends, give to Grifka to get out.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's do this. Like I said, there's a guy out there, a couple other guys I've heard that are actually on the trading block. I'm sure those price tags for those guys on the trading block are pretty hefty. And, obviously the Lions aren't willing to part with too much considering they let Khalil Mack go to, the Bears for a couple first round picks. But, let's start with this guy. I mean, the guy that's still out there, you know, what do you think? I mean, I always hear this, and when he was first out there, people were like, they should sign this guy. I mean, Dez Bryant, do you think they should bring him in to get in or just, like, have him to get out?
I mean, I don't know. This guy, he's just a name to me now. Like, I mean, you can't just come up in the halfway through the year and do anything. We don't need a receiver, so my voice is basically shot. Get out, Grifka. Get this guy out. I mean, I don't know where he's going to fit, but dang sure isn't with the Lions. Get out.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. If he walked in the offices looking for a job, I would just have Matt Pat look at him and say, get out!
So yeah.
He could do that. You know, like you said, Matt, he's just a name. That would have been a fine pick 5 years ago, but not where he's at now.
Matt Pat would probably be like, who let you in? Get out. I mean, isn't your boy Bill Keenis working the front gate now? Isn't that what he's doing?
Yeah. He would let him in and say, couple more for Coach.
Couple more for Dez.
Yeah, that's what he do. It's just like, that's what he does. You think he does that at the front gate, like on Tuesdays when they're bringing in free agents for tryouts? They'd be like, couple more for Coach. Hey, who are you? I'm Joe Schmo. I play defensive end. And who are you? I'm Joe Buck. I play linebacker. Couple more for Coach. You know, like, you know. And you
and
are
hits that big red button, and then the gate goes up, and then he does it, and he closes it, and then he's done for the day. Yeah, that's Bill Keenis now, the front gate historian.
Yeah, exactly. You should have been here when Barry Sanders walked through. It was awesome. Okay, so if the Lions were to trade Golden Tate, because I know you don't like him, this guy's also on the trading block. What do you think about Amari Cooper? Would the Lions trade for Amari Cooper?
No, Grifka, I mean, like, I already talked about our receivers, like, not having dynamic guys, but we don't – unless you were to really part with a piece, you know, if Golden Tate walks, maybe I'd entertain a big-name piece for going into next year. But right now, like, any of those receivers, they just got to get out because we're basically set unless we got rid of. And even if you get rid of, you don't add one during the year right now. So get out.
Gosh, I know you hate it, but I have to agree with you on that. I wouldn't, you know, if he walked in the building, tell him to get out. But I'd be like, hey, what are you doing here? Okay, it's nice to see you again. You know, how about you get out? You're right. I don't know. I really like him, but you know, like I said, maybe trading for him in the off season. But I wouldn't trade for him right now. And then last guy, I just wanted to bring up to you because I heard he was on the trade block as well, and I think this guy could really help. But what are you thinking about Patrick Peterson?
He's got to get in. Yeah, man. I know this guy's not a young spring chicken anymore, but get in, man. I would love it. I would have loved it like 3-4 years ago when there was buzz about it maybe happening, or that, you know, when Mayhew loved him in the draft. I wish we would have done what we needed to do to get this guy. But yeah, man, if you can add a guy like that, get in.
Yeah, I'd like I said, I know you hate when I agree, but same thing, man. When I read he was on the trading block and like one of the possible places, you know, could be Detroit, I was like, yes, get in! Because, you know, you put him on one side and Slay on the other side, and you put Nevin Lawson on the bench, you know, handing out Gatorade as the guy's coming running off the field and being the get-back guy, when he's the guy on the sideline telling everybody else to get back from the white line so they don't get that 15-yard penalty. Yeah, I make this trade. You know, I'd give up, you know, Amir and Tate and Ziggy and, you know, a bag of beans to get Patrick Peterson. So I'd be fine with that.
The other reason I say bring him is because, you know, ever since Peterson's been in the league, I've seen some interviews. He's such a no-nonsense, humble, good dude that I think the city would love him. I think he still has a good few years left in him. So, you know, yeah, it'd be pricey. You know, I don't know what his contract is, but I know it's not cheap. So it'd be pricey, but I think he's got – you know, two, three good years left, and the city would just love him if he made plays because he's just a Detroit guy and he's a playmaker, and that's what we always love in this town. So yeah. Get in, man. That would be incredible, but like you say, we don't see it happen, but it'd be great. So
yeah, and I'm sure probably Dez Peterson and Cooper, they're all tied to Philadelphia somehow, since Philadelphia needs like every trade, you know, everything's like, oh, going to Philadelphia. So that's all I got for get in, get out. So,
Grifka, I want to, like, my voice is shot. You put that up to me. I know some people may not know the history of get in, get out. It was one of the classic all-time tailgate moments when Little Tim dropped about 5-plus minutes of rhymes, and the chorus was, get in, I get out, but get the heck up out of my house. It was incredible. You got to go back and listen if you didn't hear that episode. We're going to do it from time to time if my voice can take it, but if you didn't like it, you had to be there. Get in, get out. It's going to be big, and I think you hit on some good names there. So, you know, hopefully the Lions can either get some people in here or get a few out before the trade deadline. But like I say, it's always tough to do in the NFL, but we'll see what happens. So, everybody, we tried our best at get in, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Our voices just can't handle it. Like I said, I don't think we're, using the medication for our glaucoma like little Tim does to get that voice. So,
gosh, I wish we could have little Tim in the studio and do it live for us. Cause, that could,
no,
be
I think if we actually did that, he would never leave the studio. We'd be like, here's the next podcast. Little Tim's back. Wow. Like, wow. Little Tim came back. No, little Tim never left. you know, is what it would
And then, we'd ask little Tim a question and be like, what do you think about, you know, the Lions secondary this week? And he'd just go, I don't know, but they got to get in and get out because I told them to get the heck up out of my house. Like, and then you ask him the next question, it would just be the hook on repeat again. Like, I don't know that he does anything else except get in, get out song all day long.
He had a couple verses, but I couldn't understand them. So,
right. I don't know if he speaks, though. I don't know if he talks. I think it's just the song all day. Like, he says hello to you, and then he just goes into the song.
It's like pulling the string on a talking doll. It's only got so many lines.
Right. Right. It didn't matter what we said. He just went back to the chorus, like, again. It was just like, hey, how you doing, little Tim? Got to get in! Okay. We know you get in, get out. But anyway, like say, he's a legend, man. I loved it, and we're just paying homage to him on the podcast for the people. Yeah, but I can barely talk.
So we get sued.
No way, man. We're trying to make this guy what he should be, which is an absolute legend and star. I mean, it was great. It was tremendous. So I would never tell that song, Get Out.
Okay. Yeah. Think you need to listen to some better music because I don't know what you're listening to right now. But okay.
Yeah, right. Grifka, your playlist needs to get out. Okay.
Okay.
I'm done.
Yeah. Me too.
What
actually.
Else you got? Anything else?
Nah, man. I'm done for the week. Just hoping for a big W this weekend. Out of the Lions down on the road in Miami.
Yeah, man. Like you say, we kind of just breezed through. I mean, we're not ever on this show really gonna break down everything to a T. We're here to have some fun, drink the Kool-Aid, and like I say, I mean, I don't want to tiptoe in every week. I want this team to get some mojo. I want them to have some confidence. They won a big game heading into the bye week. They should be refreshed. You don't go into a game just hoping, thinking, dreaming that you'll win. We have to get to the point where if we're better than the other team, doesn't matter what's played or what the weather is, you go and you win the game. And that's what I'm hoping for this Sunday. So Kool-Aid drinkers, I hope you think the same. I hope you have the same confidence I do that we can come in and beat this Dolphins team. And we appreciate you listening. Everybody, have a big Sunday. Let's get a big win. And you can catch us back here next week for two episodes of the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Everybody, let's go Lions. Let's drink it in. Let's get this W. And we'll check you next week. We're out.
This Sunday, I'm going to give you what you crave, what everybody here craves. Drink it in, man.